Psalm 73. Thank you, gentlemen and lady. Miss Christy filling in at the last moment there. Did a wonderful job. And I appreciate our music here at Heritage Baptist Church. Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph, which was the choir director for the temple worship. And we call him the associate pastor. He got a couple in here, a couple of psalms, and so I'm going to preach to you the associate pastor psalm today, all right? Yeah, Psalm 73. Notice, if we will, we're going to look at the entire chapter today, but I'm going to read down to verse 16 to get us started today. It says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me," now he states the obvious, God is good. He's always good. But he says, "As for me, how I perceive things." By the way, we must be careful how we perceive things. Because notice what he says, "My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." In other words, he was talking about his life. His spiritual life was at the cliff and he was almost going to go over. But notice what happens as we read on down. He says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." But I'm telling you, we live in that generation today. We live in the world where, as Christians, we can get our eyes off of Christ and look onto the world and say, "Well, it seems like everybody else is driving a nicer car than me. I'm serving the Lord. It seems like everybody else has a nicer house than me, and I'm serving the Lord." He said he was envious at it. We must be careful. How God's blessed other people, maybe he hasn't blessed us like that yet. Or maybe the lost people, as we look at their blessings, is all they're going to get is what's here. We got so much. We have a mansion just over the hilltop, amen, in that fair land. And that's where I'm going. I don't know about you, but I know I'm going there because of my faith in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 4, he says, "For there are no bands or bonds in their death, but their strength is firm." Seems like we live in that world today, doesn't it? Seems like the greatest voice we hear today is the voice of lost man. Seems like the voice of the Christians have been silenced. I will tell you what, you read all these polls, I promise you this, they're not polling us. Amen. They're polling people in California, probably. That's why polls look so bad. And whenever they do these places that are liberal places, that's who they're not even polling Texas. And amen. Hey, you want to see how, anyway, that's a different sermon. See, I almost slipped right there, but I was well nigh gone, but I came back. Verse 5, "They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as chains. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have no more than a heart could wish." They have more than a heart could wish. Verse 8 says, "They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully." That word lawfully means pridefully. Well, we live in that world. Verse 9 says, "When they set their mouths against the heavens and their tongues walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither and waters are full. A cup are rang out to them and they say, how doeth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold," by the way, in other words, they make fun of God. Our world is not anti-Christian. It is pro-Satan. In a lot of speeches that you hear, people have no more reverent fear for our Heavenly Father. People speak totally against Him, blasphemous speech against our Father. Now notice what happens. He says, verse 12, he says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in incense." Verse 14 says, "For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought on this to know, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." In verse 17, we see a great, great, great awakening. He says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, into the presence of God, he says, then understood I therein. Folks, that's where we want to get to this morning. Get our eyes off the world and get our eyes back on God. And so as we look at this scripture today, it's really a scripture or passage of scripture to tell us how to get from us to God, to get our eyes off of me and you, to get our eyes off of self and to the Savior. We must today get our eyes off of ourselves and get it on the Savior. After we pray, we'll preach on that subject. Father, we love you. We thank you. And Father, we ask as we look into the Scripture today, I pray that you give me power. I pray that you would speak through me and use my life and my body as a vessel today. Lord, I pray you'd help my mouth to only speak those words which you would have me to speak. And Father, I'm glad that we know today that you're a great and mighty God, that you're a big God, that you can do anything. Lord, you said that with us, we can do nothing, but God, with you, all things are possible. And so, God, today, there's souls that need to be saved. There's lives that need to be changed. And so, Father, I ask you to do that through the work of your Spirit today. I just pray that you would help us as we look into your Word, that we would see your glory and that we would be changed by that glory. Father, help me to hide me behind the cross today. And Lord, I love you and I thank you for what you're going to do in advance. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So notice, if you will, I'll give you three things today. In verses 1 through 16, we see the discouragement of a believer. The discouragement of the believer. By the way, there's two things that can come when you get discouraged as a believer. Number one, what can come is bitterness can come. It can creep into our lives because we can look at the world and it seems like the world is prospering. And we can get bitter and envious in our life. And by the way, God cannot use bitterness. And by the way, as the Scripture describes bitterness, that it has a root, that it grows, the root of bitterness, that it grows and it festers and it gets bigger and bigger. Hey, listen to me. We can look out at the world and think, man, they're driving nicer cars, living in better places than we are. They're in places of office and it seems like they're just having a heyday. And I'm telling you, we can get bitter if we're not careful. I believe not only can we get bitter, but I believe the second thing that does damage to the Christian life, when we get discouraged, we backslide. We go back from where we should be. There's times in our life where we know that we should be here and we're not. We go back. We go back in our life. There's not a progression in our life. There's a procession. We go back. We seem to, in our life, when we look at the world and we get discouraged, we seem to go that way. By the way, God cannot use discouragement. God wants to use joy. God wants to use a willing life. And selflessness. Sometimes we can be as though Asaph. We can look and say we're bitter. We're bitter at this. We're envious at this. We're coveting this. We're thinking, God, you forgot about me. I know there's nobody here like that. Driving down the road, thinking, God, have you forgot about me? By the way, I'll say this. Hope this will help. Is that a lot of people think just by coming to church that God's supposed to bless your life and turn it all around. I see it all the time. I mean, you know, it never fails. People are like, you know what, honey, we're going to straighten our family out. We're going to go to church. Hey, hallelujah. First step, good. Amen. We're going to get in the Bible. Hallelujah. That's good. Those steps are good. You have to do those steps. But I'm going to tell you, just because you get into church doesn't mean God's going to fix your family. Just because you get into church don't mean all your troubles are going to go poof away. It's going to take some of your part too. You're going to have to be willing. You're going to have to be submissive to God. You're going to have to be selfless. And sometimes when God doesn't do those things immediately in our life, guess what happens? We get discouraged. We get discouraged because sometimes we think, well, God, you're blessing all these other people. Why aren't you doing that to us? We must be careful, because what happens is that bitterness sets in our life. What happens when discouragement comes? Bitterness, and we begin to backslide on God. We begin to go back and we begin to digress in our life instead of progress in our life. And sometimes that can happen to me and you. By the way, it can happen just like that, can't it? Well, I'll be going good. It's like a car. You know, you're just cruising along, nothing's wrong, and all of a sudden you hear... The other day I was coming up 35. Yes, I was going north on 35. And, of course, you know what that means. I was at a snail's pace. And I was able to watch everything that was going around me. And so I'm coming along. And I noticed on the other side, this truck, this mattress truck that was worked for mattress firm, or one of those, he was just going like this. I was like, what in the world? Just, what is he doing? Well, he had just ran over a car. Ran over the driver's side of the door of the car. And I was thinking, uh-oh. And I was looking at the lady. You could tell she was in shock. We were looking at each other. And, of course, I couldn't get over there to help her, and thank God other people helped her. But sometimes in life we can be going along, and I was just going along, and all of a sudden, just my world turned upside down. My heart went out for that poor lady. I was thinking, you know, I wish I could jump over this bear and get over there, but I'd probably die trying to do that. But, you see, in life sometimes you just drive along, and you know, I'm thinking that lady, I don't know whose fault it was, but I'm sure that lady's just going thinking, boy, I'm going to work, or I'm going home, or I'm going to the shopping, wherever she was going, and everything's going to go well because I'm driving, and guess what? Somebody else can change that for you. In a heartbeat, that car can quit, your engine can quit, things can happen in life. And guess what's going to happen? Is that it is how we react to the situations that we are in life. We can react to them and say, God, help me in this situation. Make me a better Christian. Asaph looked at the world, and guess what it did? It discouraged him. Notice what he said. He says, verse 2, he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He said, I was almost a goner. He said, I was almost ready to give all this up. I was ready to say to the choir, you're done. You can get somebody else to lead this. I've never been there. Hey, listen, church, you can just, I'm gone. I'm done because it looks like what I'm doing is has no blessings to it. But can I tell you that God sees everything. He keeps a just record. Your reward may not be here. But I promise you, God's keeping a just record. And one day He will reward you. Let's look at the second thing, verse 17 to 20. We see not only the discouragement of a believer here, but we see the direction of the lost. In verses 17 through 20. 17 through 20 says, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood I therein. He says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. It's amazing when you get with God how your vision changes. Isn't it amazing that when you get underneath the presence of God and the glory of God, that's where he was. Asaph said, until I came into the presence of God, until I came into that place where God was, he says, I look at things differently. You ever do that? You ever think, why was I ever discouraged about that? It was because I had the wrong vision. Our sight affects our heart. Notice what he says, verse 19. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Verse 20 says, as a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Can I tell you there is a direction to the lost? See, once Asaph got into the presence of God and the power of God in his life, his vision of the lost man changed. He changed from envy to wanting to get out there and say, you know what, there's a place called heaven. That's what God will do in our life. If we'll just get alone with Him and spend time with God, we'll quit looking at the lost man as prosperous people. We'll start seeing them as He saw. Notice the two things that He said in verses 18 and 19. He said the way, the direction of the lost man is the way of destruction. Notice the last word there in verse 18. He said, thou didst cast them down into destruction. By the way, that means annihilation. By the way, one day, if you're lost, you will go to a place called hell. If you reject Jesus Christ and His grace and His mercy and His goodness and His love to you, guess what? You're going to die and go to hell. But you know why we're here this morning? You know why I spend time studying? You know why I spend time praying? You know why I spend time? Because I want to tell people that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him, He said. That's why we're here this morning. You can change your direction. I once was bound to hell. But Jesus Christ came. And He saved my soul. And He turned me around. And He put me on my way to eternity. And guess what? I can't get off that road. I can get in the bar ditches, as we call them. But I'm telling you what, I can't lose my salvation. Why? Because I didn't earn it. I didn't give it to myself. Jesus did. And Jesus is an eternal God. Everything God does is eternal. And can I tell you today, if you're here and you're lost, your direction in life is on your way to hell, can I tell you that Jesus Christ stands in the way? Just as He stood on the cross and gave His life for you, He bled and He died. He was holy, total holy. He was sinless for you, born of the Father. He died and gave His life so why you could change your direction. So you wouldn't be headed for the wrath of God. So you would not be headed for a place called hell. But because you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He'll turn everything around and point you toward heaven and give you a new life. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Folks, I'll tell you, as a Christian, we can live in a place of discouragement. God help us. I wish I could stand up here this morning and say, I'm never discouraged. Right now, I'm not discouraged. 5 minutes from now, I may be discouraged. When you give the invitation and nobody comes, that's discouragement. But can I say that we must be careful living in discouragement, because we must see the direction of the lost. And we're not going that way anymore. Boy, I'm glad I'm not on my way to hell anymore. I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad I got put underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I came and now I have eternal life. Hallelujah. I'm going to come down there and amen myself. Some of you, if you're truly saved here today, let me take you through events in your life. Lost and on your way to hell. Nothing you could do about it. Nothing you could pay to get yourself out of there. Then Jesus Christ came to you and knocked upon your heart door through the Holy Spirit of God. And you said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was sinless, that He died on the cross in your place as a substitute, that He was buried and He rose again. You trusted in that. And now we are saved now from what? From the way we were going, from the wrath of God on our life. Now you're saved and on your way to heaven, and nobody can turn that around. Has a little more amens. You know what Paul had to do in a lot of his writings? He had to remind them where they came from to get them to enjoy where they are. And can I tell you, the day you get saved, God does not go, well, let me get my checkbook out and start writing checks so they can have nice things in life. It's not the way it works. He wrote one check for you, and as we sing it, Jesus paid it all. He paid your sin debt. So if you live in a tent, you have better things than the lost world has. If you live in a motor home, you have a better place and you have a better life than a lost person does. See, Asaph had to get to that place in his life where he got underneath the presence of God. And then God showed him, this is their end, destruction. And then notice the next word in verse 19, desolation. That means desolate. There's nothing there. By the way, if you're lost this morning, there's nothing. You know why? Because the Bible says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sin, dead, you're gone. But He hath quickened you. That means the Holy Spirit came and He saved you. He made you alive again. And in our life is that we were dead in trespasses and sin, wasn't we? But Jesus saved us, resurrected us out of that deadness, and gave us a new life. We see that the direction of the lost is destruction and desolation. But I want you to notice the last thing. In verses 21 through 28, we see the denying of self. The denying of self. This is where we all have to get to this morning. Verse 21 says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, and thou hast holden me by the right hand. And thou guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. I believe Asaph understood the rapture. Heaven. He understood eternity. He said, you're going to receive me one day to glory. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring after thee. In other words, when we go against God, whenever the lost world, they're serving other gods, they're serving themselves. He says there's destruction. He will destroy them. Verse 28, he says, but it is good for me. Verse 28, there's a contrast, isn't there? Verse 2 says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My feet were had well nigh slipped. But you go to verse 28, you see something amazing. There's a but there. It says, but it's good for me to draw near to God. For I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. He comes before him, and we see that in verses 21 through 28, we see the denying of self, and we see two things happen here. We see in verse 21, we see conviction. Look at verse 21. He says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. He said, I knew this wasn't right. I knew I shouldn't have been thinking that way. I knew I shouldn't have been having those thoughts about the wicked and how they're prospering. That conviction in your heart. Aren't you glad you got the Holy Spirit that says, that's not right? Holy Spirit. Some people don't know how to react to that in their life. I know how to react to it in my life. It's called on my knees, saying, God, forgive me. Oh, what is wrong with my heart? Well, It's the Holy Spirit going, hey, knucklehead, you're not right. You're not looking right. You're not doing right. You're not going right. We see the second thing, verse 22. I love verse 22. He says, so foolish was I. There's a confession. By the way, conviction is no good unless there's a confession. Now, I'm not talking about going into a closet and some guy with a backwards collar. I'm not talking about those confessions. I'm talking about going to your Heavenly Father and saying, God, so foolish was I. Notice what else he says. I say this all the time. And ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Notice how he made himself low. He said, I was as a beast. Remember the prodigal son when he came home? He was on his way. He says, you know what? I want to be a king. No, that's not what he said, is it? He said, I hope my dad will receive me back as a son. No, that's not what he said. He said, I hope my dad receives me as just one of his servants. You know why he said that? Because of conviction and because he was confessing. He said, I've sinned before. Notice he had it right. Before God and my Father. I sinned before God and we must come and say, you know what? I was over here in depression. I was bitter and I got backslidden in my life. But then I saw the direction of the lost. Destruction and desolation. But now I got to deny myself. That's where I have to be. I have to deny myself. How do I do that? Well, there's conviction upon my heart. But now, Lord, I'm going to come in and confess it of who I am. By the way, it's good every now and then to say, Lord, I sinned against you. And Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, would you forgive me? And guess what our great and mighty God will do? Yes. I'm glad God doesn't go, let me think about that. It says he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad God doesn't up in heaven and go, how do I feel today? He never changes. He said, I change not. In other words, God doesn't wake up one day like us and have a bad day and a good day. He's always the same. That's what makes him God. He doesn't change. He doesn't go by how he feels. He goes by how the cross is. He goes by the cross. He goes by his word. And he says that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Guess what he'll do? He'll forgive you. Hallelujah. I love verse 28 again. He says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Let me ask you this morning. Where's your trust at? Number one, where's your trust if you're lost? You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. But mainly I'm talking about is Asaph. I believe Asaph was saved. I believe he knew of the coming Messiah and put his faith in that. I believe that with all my heart. And so I ask you as a Christian this morning, I ask us as believers today, where is our trust? When something happens to you, what is the first thing you reach for? Mama? I don't know. I don't know who you're calling. Or do you say, Lord, I need your help. Now, you may need mama's help. Secondary. You may need your wife's help, your husband's help, maybe your kid's help. I don't know. But our first reaction should be, Lord, I trust in you. And Lord, I can't handle this on my own. That's where Asaph had to get to in his life. By the way, I've been here. This psalm means so much to me. You know why it means so much to me? Because this is me. This is Michael Wiggins. Michael Wiggins, so many times, I look across the street and I'm like, seriously, how do they have all that? You live across from them. We live in the town of motorcycles. They got 25 motorcycles, doom buggies, you know, and all. I mean, seriously, you start looking at that. You go, where are they at on Sunday? Oh, they're there. They're over here. I've never seen them go to church, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, that's me. Say, well, I'm serving the Lord. I'm trying to do right, and I'd like to have a four-wheeler for my kids. Somebody wants to donate one, I'm available. I don't know where I would ride it, but you know, I mean, Shelby was talking about the other day. She said, Dad, I wish we had I wish we had a house with some acreage and some animals on it. I was like, well, go live with the Clarks, you know. She didn't want to do that. No. And she said, no, I'm fine. And no. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you start thinking, well, what if I did something else? But I'm telling you what. I go home and I'm like, Lord, I got a roof over my head. And that's a good roof. I love my house. I love where I'm at. I love the neighborhood. I love my vehicles. You know why? Because they crank up and they go. That's all I want them for. I don't buy them for show. The show's inside. It's me, you know. You watch me long enough, there's a free show in there. If you ever see me driving down the road, I'm usually singing or something. I'm not saying because I'm good looking. I don't take it that way. But usually if you watch me in my vehicle, there's a show, you know, especially if I'm singing or I'm preaching to myself or something like that. It's usually a show. I'm sure people drive by me and go, man, that guy's got bees in his cars. Because I'm in there going, you know, like an auctioneer. Yeah, but unfortunately, you know. But I'm telling you what, is that there's been times that I've got discouraged. You know what happened? Bitterness, backslidden condition entered into my life. But you know what? Once I enter into the sanctuary of God, once I get into the Word of God, I realize that the lost are on their way to hell. I'm like, Lord, I'm all right. I'm all right. Lord, everything I got is a blessing. Boy, and then you get that card in the mail that says, hey, I just want to let you know we're praying for you and we appreciate you. Devil, get away from me. Why was I discouraged? I'll ask my wife that sometimes. I was like, why was I even discouraged about that? Of course, she always says, I don't know. I don't know why you get that way. That's usually what she says to me. She's like, I don't know. I was wondering what's wrong with you too. It's like, you know what? I got my eyes on the wrong thing. What I have to do, Holy Spirit convicts my heart. Boy, it just tears me up inside and says, Wiggins. I don't know if he calls me Wiggins, but he says, whatever my name is in heaven. He says, get your eyes on me. Quit being discouraged. Quit envying and being covetous over those things. And look how I blessed your life. Man, what I do? Fall down on my face. Say, Lord, it's me again. I'm back again. And Lord, I was here, you know. Boy, he's faithful and just forgive me. Picks me up. And I had to keep my sight right. I had to keep my sight that the lost people are on their way to destruction and desolation. And that I'm on my way as they sung the song, Matching Over the Hilltop. Someday, I'm going to reach that heavenly shore. And I will say, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And Roberta. And some others. Brother Bandy. It'll be worth it all. And then we'll be like, why was I ever discouraged? Folks, I don't know what you're dealing with today. I'm done. But I know what I deal with. And one beast that gets me is discouragement. It beats me up. And you know what? I have to watch out for it. It creeps in all just very subtly in our life. Well, we're still going to church, still doing things, but things are not looking the way they used to. But I can tell you, there's an old-fashioned altar down here you can come to. And if there's conviction on your heart, just confess it to the Lord and say, Lord, I forsake that. And Lord, I want to serve you. I want to get my eyesight on Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things be added unto you. He ought to be the center of our life, shouldn't He? He ought to be the center of the sinner's life. And that's what we are. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, can I tell you the direction of your life is for headed to hell? And can I say there's a lot of people at Heritage Baptist Church, there's a Bible, there's a Holy Spirit, there's a cross, going to be a stumbling block to you. I mean, there's road signs on the way to hell, and we don't want you to go there. That's why we preach the whole counsel of God. That's why we preach the Word of God, because we want you to go to heaven. How do you go there? You go there by Jesus Christ, by Him only. It's not by the merit of your own self. It's not by some wage that you can pay, for the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May you need to come get saved this morning. If you do, there will be people down here with the Bible. And we'll show you how to be saved. Let's stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. Musicians, come. Our Father, we thank you for this day. And thank you for your blessings. And Lord, maybe today I was only preaching to me. Lord, maybe this was the day that I preached to myself. Lord, because I know there's days that, Lord, just get discouraged. But God, I sure am glad that you don't leave me there. I sure am glad that you're not pleased with me being there because, Lord, you come and you convict me and you show me the direction of the lost. God, you remind me that I have family members on their way to hell. And God, I don't have time enough to be discouraged because we know time is short. And so, God, I pray that you forgive me and forgive us all, God, for being discouraged and getting our eyes off of the true direction of the lost world. And God, I know that you'll forgive us and that we can do thy works. Father, I ask that you bless this invitation now. Lord, I don't know what you'll do, but Lord, I'm going to thank you for whatever you will do. And we ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. As